I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. I'm really excited about our next guest. We've had a lot of great guests on the show over the last decade, ranging everywhere from NBA to Major League Baseball to the NFL, but we've never talked to a mascot, and that is about to change right now, because joining us in the studio, we have Dan Mears. Now, Dan has been the mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs for almost three decades. Dan, I really appreciate you taking out the time to join us in the studio today. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. So I say you've been a mascot for three decades. Well, three decades with the Kansas City Chiefs, correct?
Yes. So I got my start as a mascot back in college. I'd never been a mascot in my life until I went to college. And one day I was reading the school newspaper at the University of Missouri where I went to college, and I saw this little clip that they were going to have a tryouts to be Truman the Tiger. And I thought, well, that sounds kind of interesting. So I went and I tried out. Sure enough, I got the job. And for the next 4 years, I traveled all over the United States doing college football and basketball games. And plus, I just had a lot of fun while I was doing it. And then when I graduated, I actually went out. I got my first job working in professional baseball. I worked for the St. Louis Cardinals as a character called Fred Bird. And I did that for just a short time. And while I was in St. Louis, I got a call from the Kansas City Chiefs. They said they were going to start up this new mascot program called KC Wolf. And as I thought about it, you know, in professional baseball, they play 81 home games in the summer. Professional football, they play 10 during the fall and the winter. And I tell people I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but even I knew that was a pretty good switch to make over to the NFL. And so I came to Kansas City, and I'm actually, like I said, I'm starting my 30th season with the Chiefs this year.
That's fantastic. I got to ask you, first things first, you mentioned getting the start in college. What did you learn in college as a mascot that propelled you to become a professional mascot? We talk to athletes all the time that make that jump. You know, they evolve in college and then they become professionals. What about mascots?
Well, mascots, you know, it's kind of funny because the longer you do anything, the better you get at it. And so I don't know that I was a great mascot in college, but they have mascot competitions. So if you ever watch ESPN, you'll notice they have like cheerleading competitions. Well, they do the same thing with college mascots. And when I competed, you would take a videotape, you'd take highlights of what you had done throughout the year, or you would put that onto like a 3-minute videotape, and you would mail that in, and then they would pick the top four in the nation and fly you to wherever the competition was held. It was typically held at like SeaWorld. And the first year I competed was in Orlando, Florida, and then the next 2 years I competed were in San Antonio, Texas. Well, the advantage I had was that I was a broadcast journalism major when I was in college, and so I could take my videotapes, and even if I wasn't a good mascot, I knew how to edit, and I knew how to make my tape look good, and so I would send those in, and like I said, I competed, and for 3 years in a row, I finished in the top four in 1980. 88, I took second in the nation. I lost to the Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket, Buzz the Yellow Jacket out of Georgia Tech. And then in 1989, I took first in the nation that year. I beat Zippy the Kangaroo out of Akron University in Ohio. And then in 1990, I took second again. I lost to the Buffalo out of West Virginia, Marshall University in West Virginia. And so when I graduated, I kind of had my mascot resume. I also had this human resume. And I thought, you know what, being a mascot sounds a whole lot more exciting than getting a real job. And so that's what I've done for the past 20, you know, starting my 30th season. I've avoided a real job for a long time. I basically put on a furry costume and act like a nut for a living.
You and I were talking before we hopped on the air, and you had mentioned some of the the fun appearances that you've had. I was blown away by this. You've been a best man at a wedding. You've walked the bride down the aisle. I mean, it's not just what you see on Sundays or Monday nights.
Oh, the best part of this job is the people you meet, the relationships, and just some of the fun stuff you get to do. I've walked five women down the aisle on their wedding day.
And you didn't know who they were.
I had no idea who they were, and I dressed in a costume to do it. And I've been best man in probably seven or eight weddings. I didn't know who the groom was, but I stood there dressed in a wolf outfit with a tuxedo over it and held the wedding ring in my hand waiting for the preacher to ask for it. And so, yeah, just crazy requests that you get as a mascot. And but they're fun. I mean, you meet a lot of super people, and I get to travel to a lot of places, and not only around the United States, but around the world. And so it's an interesting job. I don't live a boring life. I do know that.
Sure. Sure. Again, our guest right now is Dan Mears. He's the longtime mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs, Casey Wolf. Let's talk about game days. What is that like? I mean, we've talked to many professional athletes, and I always ask, what's the game day ritual for you? What is that like?
Okay, so we'll say it's a noon game. So if it's a noon game at Arrowhead Stadium, I get to the stadium about 8 o'clock in the morning. First thing we do is we kind of go through, I sit down with my assistant who helps me on game day, and we kind of look through what the day looks like. So we do tailgate parties before the game, so there's certain tailgate parties that we have to hit. And then during the game, we have seat delivery. So, you know, it might be a birthday seat delivery. It might be some guy celebrating, you know, an anniversary and he wants to surprise his wife. We help a lot of guys propose to their girlfriends at Arrowhead Stadium, where they will call in the week before and say, hey, I want to propose to my girlfriend. And so we find out their seat location. And we make up a sign that has the girl's name on one side. It will have the guy's name. It'll say, will you marry me? And they have the guy's name on the back of that sign. And so what I do is that we figure out where these seat visits are. And then some of them want you to deliver roses. Some of them don't order roses. And so if you order roses, of course, there's a little extra charge on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we help a lot of people get engaged at the games, where I'll go up to the seat holding the sign that has the girl's name. And of course, the girl thinks they've won some kind of a contest, or Casey Wolf's going to give her a T-shirt or something. And then when I get up to the seat, all I do is I flip the sign around. It says, will you marry me? The guy gets down on his knee and proposes, and then she cries, and then we all hug and take pictures, and it's the same routine after that. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and so yeah, we kind of lay out what our game day is going to look like, and then of course we always go down and eat a big breakfast, and then come back and we head out and do tailgate parties and just spend a lot of time interacting with the fans on game day. So I usually get to the stadium about 8 in the morning, and I get home somewhere around 5 to 5:30 in the evening. And so games are about 3 hours long, but, you know, we've always got tailgate parties in Kansas City before the game. And then after the game, if you rush out, all you do is get stuck in traffic. And so it's easier just to sit around and eat and relax and wait for the traffic to clear out. So
you've been there for three decades, and you're so unique. I mean, because even if we're talking about, you know, a couple of years that Joe Montana was a quarterback in Kansas City, if we're talking about Patrick Mahomes today, you're unique in a sense where you will control the crowd at some point in time in that game. You get to experience something that only a few players have been able to experience. What's it like when you have one of the most ruckus crowds in the NFL? I mean, that's what Arrowhead is known for, right?
Right. I love Chiefs fans. I mean, I tell people I've got the greatest job in the world. Not just that I love doing what I do, but Chiefs fans are just crazy. As you know, we hold the record for the world's largest or the loudest outdoor stadium. And so they like to show up and have fun. And, you know, as a mascot, my job is just to entertain the crowd and get them excited. Well, Chiefs fans are excited long before they ever step into the stadium. And so it just makes my job as a mascot easy. And so I just go up. I spend a lot of time interacting with fans and getting pictures taken. And I love Chiefs fans. They're just a blast to work with.
Can you remember a certain instance where that stadium was louder than you've ever heard it before?
Well, the year we set the record for the Guinness Book of World Records, which I can't even remember how many years ago that's been now, but it's been a few. But yeah, there's a whole lot of screaming going on at that point. And that was a day I was glad I was in a wolf outfit that had a little bit of, it's kind of like wearing a set of headphones over your ears when you got a mascot costume on. But I was glad I had a little bit of ear protection that night.
I did ask you if you were a football fan before we hopped on air, and you said, of course, the organization has been so great to me for the last 30 years. Have you had a favorite player over the last 30 years?
You know, I've got a lot of guys that I just, everybody expects me to say, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he's a great guy. But some of the guys I've got to know well. I'll tell you the guy on the team right now that's probably my favorite, and it's just because I know him the best, and I've done all kinds of appearances with him, and he's been around forever, and that's our punter, Dustin Colquitt. If you ever get to meet Dustin, he's just a great guy, just really down to earth and just a super nice guy that does a lot in the community and just gives back a lot, and that's what I respect about him. But yeah, there's been guys like Tony Richardson, who used to be one of our fullbacks, was just a super nice guy. If you want to go way back, a guy named Dave Zott, who was one of our offensive linemen back in the 90s under Marty Schottenheimer. He was a great guy. And then Rich Gannon, I don't know if you remember that name.
Sure,
quarterback,
MVP, right.
great guy. And so yeah, just over the years, you meet a lot of guys that I had a great deal of respect for, not only as football players, but more importantly as men, just by the way they live their lives. And, you know, I like to see guys that are giving back in the community. You know, they've got a platform as a player. You know, I've been given a platform as a mascot, and I want to use that platform to hopefully be a blessing in my community and around the people I meet. And so, you know, we get opportunities to do a lot of charity work, and not only in the Kansas City area, but around the Midwest. And that's the rewarding part of the job right there, is just being able to go out and hopefully give back and be a blessing to others.
Dan, I know we have some things I want to talk about, including a book that you wrote about 5-6 years ago. Before I do that, I got to ask you a couple of silly questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Have you ever agitated an opposing player, an official, or even a player on your own team during a game? Has that ever happened to you as a mascot?
I am sure I've irritated somebody at some point. You know, it's funny, when you're a mascot, I've got 85-inch hips in my costume, okay? And I'm about 7 foot tall, so I take up a lot of space. I'm sure I've irritated Chiefs fans because I happen to stand in their way during a play. So, yeah, as a mascot, my goal is not to go out and irritate people, but have I irritated someone? I'm sure I have at some point. And so the good thing about being a mascot is half the time I don't even know if I'm irritating them or not.
Sure.
But I think for the most part, people like me, at least they seem to. It's fun to interact with other, you know, players from other teams. And I'll tell you, a guy that I've known for a long time is the Raiders coach, John Gruden. Now, he's a character. He always calls me the big rat when he sees me. But I've had interaction with him over the years, and every now and then I'll see him at the Pro Bowl and different events like that. I don't go out to irritate people, but I'm sure I've irritated somebody at some point.
So no open confrontation.
No, nothing open confrontation.
That's great.
Exactly.
Mascots, all eyes are on you at times. There's a lot of times when, you know, I go to a lot of NFL football games, you don't really pay attention to the mascot
right.
At times, right? I mean, there's certain aspects of the game when there's a break, timeout, into quarters, maybe you'll see the mascot running around. But when all eyes are on you, have you had any follies in your 30 years? I'm sure you have.
Well, The thing as a mascot is you got to remember that there's times, even though you don't think anybody's watching, chances are somebody's watching.
Somebody
you.
Is, right.
So that's the thing you always try to keep in the back of your mind. Even if everybody else is watching the football game, I guarantee you there's at least 25 kids that are sitting up in the stands that have no interest in football, and all they're doing is looking for the guy running around in a costume. And so you try to keep that in mind, that even when you don't think people are watching, there's a good chance that there's other people that are out there watching what you're doing. And so when you're on, and, you know, as soon as you're out there on the field, you realize, okay, I'm on stage, so I've got to be performing. And it might just be little things, and then, you know, along the sidelines. And then there's other times where you're actually out on the field doing a skit, or, you know, you might be up on the Jumbotron, you know, shooting the toilet paper gun. We've got a toilet paper gun, which is basically a leaf blower that has a paint roller taped on the end of it. And then you just load a roll of toilet paper onto the paint roller, pull the trigger on the leaf blower, and it just shoots out like, you know, shoots out in a stream. And you can go through a roll of toilet paper in about 10 or 15 seconds. But yeah, so we have fun. Every now and then you'll see the wolf put a pie in somebody's face that's dressed up like the opposing team. That's usually just a friend of mine that wants a free ticket to the football game.
But fair trade.
There is a trade. You know, if you fair want a trade. Free ticket, you're going to have to take a pie to the face in order to earn that ticket. And so...
Last goofy question before I let you go. I would ask you what's going to be the most heartbreaking loss you've endured, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that was the AFC Championship.
That was recently.
Yeah, that was probably just this last season. What was the most exciting moment for you as a fan in the mascot costume? Victory or a specific moment? Does one stand out to you?
I'll tell you, it was probably the same game we were just talking about,
really? Okay.
The Patriots game. When we intercepted that pass, I thought for sure we were headed to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. to the point that I was giving my assistant a hug, and as we're hugging, he's like, hey, there's a yellow flag on the field. And I'm like, oh, no. And sure enough, as Chiefs fans know, that was against us, and ended up losing that game. But yeah, so that was an exciting moment that, you know, you've heard of the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I experienced both of those within about a 10-second period there during that Patriots game.
You have been going to the Super Bowl too, right?
Oh, yeah. See? I was headed. So we were headed there. I
oh,
mean,
man.
So.
Ugh.
But yeah, so it was, we had been told that we were going to get, you know, two tickets to the Super Bowl, and we were going to hop on an airplane that was chartered, and so each Chiefs employee was going to have, you know, a hotel room for 4 days and two tickets to the Super Bowl and two for the pregame party and two for the postgame party and all this stuff. So, I mean, it was going to be the greatest week. And I don't know if it was a blessing or not, but I've got three children. Well, I had two tickets to the Super Bowl, okay? My wife was definitely going to take one of those tickets, and I was going in a working capacity since I was going to be a mascot, so that meant I still had one extra ticket. Well, I had one ticket. I've got three kids, so how do you decide which of your kids goes to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
So, real hard to pick your favorite kid out of that deal. So, and maybe it was a blessing in disguise that I didn't have to decide which kid I was going to take to the Super Bowl this past year.
Dan Mears, again, longtime mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs. Dan, I look at the clock. We've been talking for 17 minutes. I got to take a quick commercial break. But if you wouldn't mind, I'd love for you to come back and talk about the book that you wrote back in 2013 and the fall that kind of inspired the book. You got time for one more segment?
I can do that.
All right. We have more with Dan Mears, mascot of the Kansas City Chiefs, coming up right here on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.